This is a voice of truth, a voice of God's inerrant, absolute, unbroken, verbally inspired word. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis inviting you to stay tuned now to hear God's message, an old-time, old-fashioned message from God's Word by the late Pastor L.R. Shelton Sr. And the message that you hear today is the false Christ or Antichrist is a pseudo-Christ. Let me give you that title again. It's the false Christ or Antichrist is the pseudo-Christ. And it's number 378. I wish you'd sit down or call me or write me, and we'll send it to you in printed form. But you stay tuned now, and I'll give you the mailing address and the phone number at the close of the service.
The Antichrist is the pseudo-Christ or the false Christ. We looked at 2 Thessalonians 2, 9-12 in our last Sunday study and saw the Antichrist will come with all power, that is, miracles and signs and lying wonders, and with every deceit of unrighteousness in order to deceive them into following him in opposition against God's anointed Messiah and acclaim him as God. His motive is to fulfill his ambition set forth in Isaiah 14. I will be like the Most High. And because man will not have his son to rule over them, God is going to send them a strong delusion, literally a working of error, that they might accept the rule of the Antichrist. If you reject the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, who loves sinners, who will be given over to the authority, you will be given over to the authority of the cruel tyrant Satan, and by your own, and that by your own free choice. Talk about a free will. Sinner, you don't have a free will to come to Christ because you are a child of Satan, and you only have a free will to choose the will of your father, the devil. That's right. God has to break that will, unshackle that will, before it'll ever come to choose Christ. Now, Satan does not want to be like the Messiah. That is, like the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to do the will of his Father, who is the high and lofty one that inhabited eternity, whose name is holy. But he wants to be like the Most High and dwell in the high and holy place. No, he hates Christ. He despises him, and so do you. If you have never bowed to the authority of him who has been exalted above every name that is in heaven and on earth, the only reason you are not openly and outwardly flaunting yourself in God's face like Madeline Murray O'Hara is because you profess to believe in God. But religious profession only covers up a heart of hatred and rebellion from yourself and keep you in a state of escape, listen now, from a guilty conscience. When the Lord opens your heart and lets you see who you are, that is a child of Satan, that you are guilty like Satan, and the judgment of Satan you're under, which this is Holy Spirit conviction, you will see that you ought to go to hell that God prepared for the devil and his angels. No sinner loves God by nature. Now that's true. Talk about a person loving God. You don't love God by nature. No, you don't. You love God by grace. All the world is religious. This is because man was created dependent upon his Creator for the source of his needs, physically, mentally, morally, and spiritually. Apart from a goal or purpose in life, apart from proper motivation, something really worthwhile to live for, work for, even die for, man is worthless, has no direction, accomplishes nothing, and becomes a lazy, shiftless, indifferent vagabond, moral tramp, or spiritual wanderer. Whatever an individual considers worth worthy of all his energies, his time, and attention is the motivating factor in your life. And that is what becomes your God. Now examine yourself and ask yourself, what do I live for? For to me to live is Christ, and the love of Christ constraineth me or motivates me. If whatever you are living for or working for is not Christ, then for you to die is lost. Your religion then is an empty sham. Ever since God said in the presence of Adam and Eve, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, man has been looking for a deliverer from the curse of sin that holds all creation in bondage. The Jewish scriptures is the unfolding of that messianic hope. And therefore we may say with the Apostle Paul, they are the oracles of God, are the revealed will of God. All the mythologies and that have any semblance of truth set forth in the Bible are the distorted folklore based on God's divinely inspired word. The Hebrew writings were dictated and guarded by God himself so that we have the revealed will of God just as he revealed it to man. The Jews look for he that is to come, Luke 7:17. Or do we look for another? Rumors had come to John the Baptist that Jesus performed miracles, even raising the dead. A fear seized upon the people so that they glorified God, saying, a great prophet is risen up among us, and God hath invested his people. If you'll read the account of the baptism and temptation of our Lord, you'll find that the Holy Spirit came upon him, Luke 3:22, and he was full of the Holy Spirit, Luke 4:1. And after the temptation in the wilderness, he returned to Galilee, now listen, in the power of the Holy Spirit, Luke 4:14, which literally means in the energy or might of the Spirit, and is the same word for virtue in Luke 6:19. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went out virtue of him and healed all. Miraculous power radiated from his person. And when he announced in the synagogue that he was the fulfillment of the messianic prophecy of Isaiah 61:1-2, the hearers wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. Now when John sent his disciples to ask Jesus whether he was the promised Messiah, or do we look for another? Christ sent him word saying, you go back and tell John what things you have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Here we have all the miraculous signs and wonders of truth, which were his messianic credentials. These signs are found in Isaiah 42:1-7, where the Messiah is God's servant, the surety of the covenant, chosen to remove the curse and its effect. Isaiah 61:3, to give beauty for ashes, oil of joy for mourning, garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Messiah means the servant of Jehovah, anointed with the Holy Spirit to carry out his office of prophet, priest, and king. Now listen, in Ezekiel 28:14, we find that Satan was the anointed cherub, meaning Satan as Lucifer, the day star, was anointed with the Holy Spirit to lead the worship of the angels. Christ said, I came of my own self to do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. And later on in the same discourse said, I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. When the Antichrist comes offering himself as the world solution to all of its problems, he will come in his own name, and he will come in the power or energy of Satan. Revelation 13:2. Christ came doing his Father's will. Antichrist comes doing his own will. Daniel 8:4. In Revelation 17:3, we find that the beast or Antichrist has on his head names of blasphemy, because that is Satan's sin, blaspheming against God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Blaspheming, get it now? Holy See, listen, is speech that is injurious to another's good. It is slander, or as Calvin describes it, the disclosure of a shameful deed in order to bring about a deep and permanent cleavage between parties. So Satan has not only slandered God the Father and God the Son, but he has slandered the Holy Spirit. He has affected a great show of intimate knowledge of God and passed off such lies on God that makes you, sinner, run from him instead of fleeing to the one who so loved you that he gave himself for you, dying for you, becoming sin for you, that you might know the truth and have the righteousness of God in Christ. He whispered Eve, listen, he whispered Eve, yea, hath God said. Then he gave her some inside, so-called inside information, that slander. Ye shall not surely die. And to drive the wedge still deeper, he assured her that God had a secret, wicked motive. God is keeping something back from you, because God doth know that ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. What slander! What blasphemy! Then he was in a position to indoctrinate her with his own doctrine. And you shall be as gods. You shall be as gods. That was the so-called inside information that Satan whispered to Eve. Exercise your own will. Use your own wisdom. That's Satan's lie. But he preaches in his own name. Adam embraced it and brought the curse upon himself and his posterity, as well as the entire creation. The truth is Christ, the promised Messiah, would come as fallen man's kinsman redeemer and redeem him from the curse of self-will. Notice Isaiah 61 says he proclaimed liberty to the captives. Isaiah 42 says, bring prisoners that sit in darkness out of the prison house. Also he promised to send Messiah to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, and so on. Mourn means walking with bowed down, cast heads. Yes, with your head cast down, and we get our word fall from it. The anointing Holy Spirit teacheth you all things, 1 John 2:27, and is truth, and is no lie. He reveals your fallen condition to you that causes you to languish and pine and mourn after Christ. We see very little of that today, don't we? On the contrary, everywhere you turn, you either hear the Holy Spirit's work discredited, that is his convicting work, or you hear him disrepresented or misrepresented, or his person work blasphemed by stripping him of his office of convicting the sinner of sin. That is Satan's doctrine, that you can be saved without Holy Spirit conviction. That's taught everywhere. That you can be saved without Holy Spirit conviction. My friend, you can't. No sinner can repent without Holy Spirit conviction. My friend, that's blasphemy. But religiously, we're living in such an age of blasphemy, not only of the Father, and of the Son, but of the Holy Spirit, from which there is no forgiveness, neither in this world nor the world to come. Matthew 12:32. So far we have seen from the nature of the case that the Antichrist opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worship, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. 2 Thessalonians 2:4. The beloved apostle John wrote the church in his last days and warned that Antichrist should come. 1 John 2:18. And that the spirit of the Antichrist was already working in his day through false prophets, preachers, and gave us the test of truth and false teachers. The church, which was founded on the doctrines of the prophets and the apostles, saw in Jesus of Nazareth the fulfillment of Christ, the Messiah, and showed the denial of the Christ in the last days, headed up in the man of sin, the son of perdition. But the Jews as a nation rejected his testimony as the Son of God, the promised Messiah. Therefore, they are still looking for the Messiah to come. Matthew 24:24 gives us the warning of Christ to the Jews. Listen, for there shall arise false Christ, pseudo-Christ, false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect, that is the Jewish remnant. This means that many false Christs will come upon the scene, as well as false prophets. And how many times have the Jews been deceived in the past centuries? The spiritual hope of a redeeming Messiah is as foreign to their theology today as it is many other religions. Only Christianity has hope to offer to a dying world. The Jewish concept of the Messiah is one of worldly deliverance from the opposition of the nations, one who will be an economic savior and an industrial wizard. They fail to see the suffering servant of Jehovah, but the glorious King returning in power, signs and marvels of human leadership. When he comes offering peace, prosperity, they'll hail him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. John 8:44. Satan's pseudo-Christ knows the spirit of man. 1 Corinthians 2:11. And knows how to appeal to the lust of men. He comes not bringing glad tidings of great joy that God's Redeemer has come. No, he hates everything that resembles Christ in his person and offices of prophet, priest, and king. But he'll capitalize, now get it, he'll capitalize on the Jews' expectation of Messiah, as well as upon the Christians' blessed hope of Christ's return, and will offer himself as the world's hope for utopia, the great society. He will, after all that is good and bad, of all worldly culture and wisdom, peace, prosperity, and enjoyment of every delight of the flesh, he'll offer that. It is not a future salvation, but a present blessedness to all who will obey him and give him their allegiance, his gospel of peace and welfare, health and happiness will dazzle statesmen of all nations, and they'll beg him to come and help them institute his reform in all their countries. The world looks to him as the fulfillment of all of its dreams and hopes and the solution to all of its problems. That's what the world's looking for now. They're not looking for the return of Christ. They're not looking to the Son of God. They're looking for a man, the economic savior, the son of Satan, who will give them all the fleshly hopes they're looking for. You name it. Whatever man wants, he'll promise it. If you want a welfare state, where everyone is guaranteed a fine living without having to work his 40 hours a week. He has a wonderful program. If you want an efficient medical program for all, he's got that too. All the technology of scientists, mechanics, electronics, politicians, of politics, and every phase of civilization is harnessed down to the last detail to make this world a better place to have to live without Christ and His truth. Every lust for the enjoyment of the flesh, and all credit to His great financial and economic wizard. That's what the world's looking for. That's what it's going to get. Flesh, flesh, flesh. That's what the world's looking for. That's what the world wants, is flesh, flesh, flesh. And that's what God's going to give them through the Antichrist. Paul said, for this cause, that is, receive that they receive not the love of the truth, God shall send them an effectual working of error, that they should believe the falsehood. Following World War II, everyone wondered how the German people could be so duped into letting Hitler take over the dictatorship of the country. They were, as a nation, a peaceful, sensible, law-abiding, home-loving people. Yet Hitler perpetrated on them one of the greatest frauds known to history. Don't kid yourself. Don't deceive yourself, my friend. It can happen again. And it's happening right here under our very eyes, worldwide, as the spirit of the Antichrist works and preparing one generation. That's all it takes to make it receptive to his plot. It is happening because man is rejecting the truth and turning to academic freedom, skepticism, and doctrine that man is evolving upward, and that every desire and emotion of man is natural, lawful, and ought to be gratified. Flesh, flesh is what the world's crying for. The freedom of the will and the right of the individual to revolt against all authority and do as he pleases, regardless who he hurts, is opening the flood tide to all kinds of violence, corruption, and the breakup of home and society. This is a day when no longer does moral right and wrong prevail as a standard of law and behavior. The only voice that people know is force. That is the iron scepter of the Antichrist, who will be the last Roman emperor. That is the dictator of the revived Roman Empire. The darkest days of Israel's history until the dispersion was during the time of the judges, when every man did that which was right in his own eyes. My friend, let me ask you a question. How often have you yourself said, it's nobody's business how I live or what I do? Or let me ask you this question. Do you tell yourself, it doesn't make any difference what I believe, so long as I believe something? Because we're all going to the same place when we die. Well, I'm not going there with you, but by different routes. Well, there's not but one way to heaven. That's through the atoning blood of Christ. Well, Satan has permeated the religious world with his falsehood. And when your relationship with God is wrong, then your whole life is wrong, and your destiny is hell. Has God sent you a working of error? That means that Satan performs his active, persuasive power of convincing you that sin is a light thing, that eternity is a matter that doesn't need to be taken seriously, and that you're living a pretty fair life, at least as good as the next one. That means that his slander against God's character of holiness and judgment has been so effective upon your mind that your confidence in his word, the Bible, his veracity, is shaken. Your sense of his majesty and power, his anger over sin, and his desire that you be saved are so dulled that you can go on drifting from day to day, ignoring him, slighting his call, refusing his command, and then have the audacity to go on in your sins, thinking that God is such a loving God that he'll not punish me for such a little thing as that. Is that your doctrine? Has he got you fooled? Is there the working of error in your life? God would be your friend, for a friend lays down his life for his friend, but the whisperer has driven a wedge between you and your God. He has slandered God to you, and you fail to believe him. You run from him. He has slandered you to God, and you're afraid to run to him, that he would not hear you or receive you. That's the trouble we face today. I preach to you, Christ, your Savior, your Lord and Master. You flee from him. You won't have him, because there's a wedge driven between you and the Lord God of heaven by Satan.
This brings to the close another Voice of Truth broadcast, and the message you just heard was Christ, the false Christ, or Antichrist, is the pseudo-Christ. And this is a gracious message. I wish you'd call me and pick it up. We'll send it to you in the mail, free and postpaid. But I mentioned earlier that we just completed a series of studies on the Trailblazer broadcast on Satan, the God of this world. And these are little 15-minute broadcasts that we put five of them on a CD. And there's about 18 CDs. And I offered them to our folks. Many requested them for $1 apiece. Try to make them just as available as we can. And you write me or call me, and I'll be glad to quote you a price. I'll count them up and tell you, I think it's 18 of them. And we have folks already ordered them, but they'll go along with this message here. So if you will, call me about it. But the message you heard today is the false Christ or Antichrist is a pseudo-Christ. And I want to just stop and tell you here that we have a facility now that I don't mention very often. Radio Missions Radio is a 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of our messages. The Trailblazer, the Voice of Truth, the Sunday service. Look up on our website, radiomissions.org, and you'll see there, Radio Missions Radio, and you log on to that, and if you have trouble finding it, call me. I'll get someone to walk you through it. It's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We have good sound, gospel music, our radio choir, and it's been a blessing, folks, to turn it on in the morning there in the kitchen while I'm cooking breakfast and just let it run 24 hours a day if you want to listen to it. And remember, the message you heard today was the false Christ or Antichrist is the pseudo-Christ. And that message is a gracious message. Very interesting study there. And then remember, our mailing address here is Radio Missions, Post Office Box 1810, Walker, Louisiana, 70785. And this is Pastor Albert Pendarvis asking, would you pray for me? Pray for the old Trailblazer. When you go to prayer, you have prayer meeting in your church on Sunday afternoon or Wednesday afternoon, ask the leader, said, y'all pray for the old Trailblazer. He asked us to pray for him. And if you would, I appreciate it. Until next time, goodbye and God bless you.